In February, Berkshire County District Attorney Andrea Harrington fulfilled a campaign promise and largely ended the use of cash bail by her office. It comes during a national conversation about cash bail, one that freelance journalist and New York Times op-ed contributor Bryce Covert has been following for years. She spoke with WAMC about the arguments for and against cash bail and how efforts to reform the system are playing out around the country.
We know that the majority of people who are moving through the criminal justice system are low income, that they have limited resources. And the way that bail works is that basically you are arrested, you are charged but not convicted yet, and a bail amount is set that's in theory meant to ensure that you come back to court. If you have that amount of money for a felony, the typical amount is $10,000. You hand over that amount of money as sort of a deposit. When you come back to court, you get it back in full. A lot of people do not have that amount of money, so they often have to go to a bail bondsman, say, where the bondsman takes 10% of that amount that you'll never see back, but then posts bail for you and you can go free. But there are also a lot of people who just can't even come up with the amount of money that the bail bondsman wants at 10%. They end up going to jail until their trial or until someone is able to post bail for them. And they are, by definition, not yet convicted of anything, so they are innocent. And as I said, a lot of these people don't have a lot of resources. So when you put someone in jail for 2 days a week, you know, it can take a while to get to your trial, then they are missing out on going to work. They are missing out on providing resources to their families. It's really disruptive. They may lose their houses. They may lose their cars because they're missing payments they should be making. And it can put people into a downward spiral with their income even when they get out on the other end. That really impacts them, obviously. It impacts their families. And then the whole community can suffer when that kind of wealth and resources are drained.
In your observations, what have some of the most effective movements been towards removing cash bail from cities and communities on the state and local level?
Well, the activism that I think really started to push this issue and prove to policymakers and the general public that bail is not a good system are the people who have been posting bail for those who are sitting in jail and then having them come back to trial later on. So there, like I mentioned, there was a bailout days that were organized, particularly one called the Mama's Day bailout, where people donated money to help what they defined as mamas, so people who took care of family members and loved ones who had been jailed because they couldn't afford bail. They posted their bail, those people got out, and then those people were then expected to return to court. There have also been a large number of bail funds that have cropped up across the country, and the way those work is that they collect resources through donations. They post people's bail and get them out of jail while they wait for their trials. And then if those people go back to court the way they're supposed to, the bail fund gets that money back and then is able to put it towards getting someone else out of jail. The bail funds have not just helped free a lot of people so that they can go back to their lives, but they've also proven that people are very likely to return to court even if money's not on the line. So for the Bronx Bail Fund, about 95% of people come back to court after they have had their bail posted for them, which goes to show that we don't actually need this system. People are going to come back to court and reappear even if they get out of jail and aren't made to pay a bail amount. So the whole system is now being totally rethought.
What are the major arguments against this kind of bail reform? I know right now in California, there's a very pitched battle from the bail associations to try to convince voters that's a reckless move to get rid of this kind of cash bail system. What's your take on that?
Yeah, the bail bond industry is really the main opponent to bail reform, and they argue, first of all, they say that there's a constitutional right to post bail. The idea is basically that if you are held in jail without the possibility of paying bail, that means that you can't go free. The judge has in some way determined that you're either a flight risk, that you're not going to come back to court, or that you're a safety risk, you're going to harm someone or do some kind of harm while you're out, and that you have a right to post bail if you can, and that also that they are helping public safety by ensuring that people come back to court because they're the ones policing them if people are using bail bonds, by making sure that people aren't causing harm or doing more crimes while they're out. Those, I think, are very questionable claims. There's not a lot of evidence to show that bail bondsmen do any better job getting people to come back to court, or that they're even really doing much to monitor people or keep the public safe when they're interacting with people who need bail amounts. So constitutional questions aside, I think the utility of bail has really been thrown into question. And I think for the bail bond industry, the downside they see is that that then questions their business model.
One concern I've heard from activists working to get rid of cash bail is that preventative detention from judges could prove to be as much of a problem for the criminal justice system as cash bail. What do you think? Is there truth to that?
There's definitely a risk that we replace the bail system with something else that also doesn't work. Right now, in most places where cash bail has been gotten rid of, it doesn't mean that everyone goes free. Usually they say some people accused of some crimes or with some certain histories will be jailed, while others will be allowed to go without having to post bail. And the danger is around who you decide has to stay in jail. There are questions of if you're using an algorithm, for example. Some places are using an algorithm to decide whether you're a safety risk or a flight risk. But those are looking back at your criminal history, which itself may be tainted with racial bias, given the way our system works. Also, the judges may be using sort of flawed, subjective ideas about who needs to be jailed and who doesn't if they're deciding themselves, you know, who gets to go free without bail, but who has to be jailed without any possibility of release before their trial. So there are certainly questions, I think, that are now being raised about how we deal with the next step, what we do if and when bail is gotten rid of, that have legitimacy, and we haven't fully grappled with them yet.
As far as the role of race in bail in America today, what does it tend to look like for people of color in the system compared to white Americans when facing bail?
First of all, that people of color are disproportionately likely to be arrested and charged and go through this system on the whole. And we also know that people of color tend to have lower incomes in this country. So they are more likely to be facing the prospect of sitting in jail, unable to pay a bail amount, waiting for their trial to happen. As I said before, that can be extremely disruptive to your life. That means that you're taken away from your job, you're not making payments on your house and your car, you're being taken away from your family, whatever other obligations you have. So it's a disproportionately heavy burden that they face.